you, Danny and Debbie. You know, we are really blessed. Every single service, we have different musicians that come, both from within our church as well as without, and with all different genres of music with one theme, and that is to praise God. But I'm especially thankful for the Lord allowing us to have so much musical talent just here within our church that are part of our membership, and that is really a praise that we have all of that, as well as those who come from outside. And so it has been good to see Danny and Debbie grow even into actual Americans. So it's been a privilege. Tennessee's okay, but you can't beat Tejas. That's just all you can say. And I wouldn't be prejudiced because I'm born and raised here, but I am, so that's too bad. The rest of you got here as soon as you could. That's all I can tell you. If you have your Bibles, take them, open up to the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter of Genesis. To help Tomater out from New Jersey, that's the very first book in the Bible. We tease each other a lot around here, but it's all in good love and kindness. And you know, we try to take care of each other, and so I appreciate Debbie hollering at Herman to let him know he was the next one up. Sometimes Oxford gets a little laid back. You have to. And Heather, all I got to say is you better get her ready. She's already part of a band, you know. She'll be on the road next, so have to get her wound up. Very good. Title of the message is Protection by Obedience. Here in the 6th chapter of Genesis, we want to look at one of the things. You know, a lot of times God calls us or places us in situations that we totally don't understand, and we try to make sense of it in our human thoughts. And whenever those at least occur to me, I'm always reminded of his word in Jeremiah that says, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." And so we trust he always knows best. That's what faith is, acting upon those things that we can't see, but believing that they're true because God has said so. Here in the 6th chapter, I invite you to stand if you're able to honor the reading of God's word. We'll read a couple of verses here. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, that they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And I want to skip down to verses 13 and 14. "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. You may be seated. Now, for a moment here, you think about that. We have read, and purposely I read those through there in the first eight verses, that he tells what he is seeing on earth. And God has promised, we know through the story of Noah, that he made a covenant, and every time we see a rainbow, that is a reminder of that covenant, that God would not destroy the earth again by water. Scripture tells us the next time that this is after our Lord comes and all have been brought to him, that it will be by fire on the next time of what earth as we know it. Now, in that, God looks upon man, but yet he finds Noah, and verse 8 tells us that Noah found grace in the Lord. And we understand God's grace, that it's undeserving. It's not because of something we have done as far as works that we do. But as you read and look back at Noah, God gave his grace to him because Noah was at his very best trying to be obedient to God's word. We see that with David, that even with all of the things that David failed at and David committed against God's word and the commandments, yet David was renowned by God as a man after his own heart. And the same holds true for you and I and mankind. He sent his son that we might be redeemed. That doesn't mean that we're suddenly going to be perfect. Far from it. But we also find God's grace in that he allowed his Savior to come to us. Somebody witnessed and told us about Jesus Christ and the gospel. And daily as we live, we make mistakes, and God is always assured and faithful to forgive when we ask for his forgiveness and repent of that. And so the same was true here with Noah. And then God looks at Noah, and in order as God is always the same, as we talk about yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God has always allowed for a remnant of his creation to exist. We've seen that throughout all of time, even up to the present day. And here, when he was going to destroy everything, we know the story of Noah, that he and his family, you know, survive in this ark. They take two of each kind of animal, load them into the ark, and they were there until the floodwaters finally receded that they could come out. But for a moment, imagine where Noah is at in his life and in the world itself. They had never seen rain as we know it today coming from the sky. It had always come up from the ground. And here's Noah told to build this ark. And as we read about it, people jeered and laughed at him and thought he was crazy. Yet Noah just kept building. They thought he had lost his ever-loving mind, right? Down south, we would say, bless his heart. That old man don't know what he's doing, but bless his heart. And they looked upon it and they jeered. And as we read on, we find out that as God closes the door, he can hear the people screaming and trying to come in. And it's a picture for you and I in that Noah didn't really question God about what he was doing. God told him what he needed to go do, told him exactly how to build it, and he did. And by being obedient, he received the protection of God. And the same is true for you and I today. There is protection when we stay within God's will and God's way and God's word, rather than doing it our way. Sometimes that protection is because he calls you to a ministry and you think, man, this is insurmountable. I can't do this. Good example, Moses. When he came and told Moses, you're going to lead my people out of the captivity. Moses immediately said, well, you know, I got this stuttering and I can't do it. And yet God placed his brother and others around him, Joshua, that would help him take care of that. And the same is true today. God still, when he leads us into some type of plan that he has for our lives, and all of our lives are a plan of ministry one way or the other. And we all have different abilities and different gifts that God has given us to do that so that we impact those around us in our circle of acquaintances that another one of us will never meet. You know people I will never know. I know people that you will never see. But we all have those spheres of influence that we, God allows us to have a testimony to those that we're with, both verbally and how we live our lives. And so by being obedient, that protection is there. The protection against what? Sometimes it's evil. That is correct. It is also a protection against failure, that it doesn't take care of itself, that God's plan, if we follow it, I assure you, will take place. He shows it every single time. There are many instances in mine and Royce's life and in your lives that we've talked about before. We call this as a God thing. Sarita gave praise today about finding a car. It's a God thing. I got a buddy of mine that really was in a bind. And, you know, he walked into somebody he knew out at the car lot. And he said, "Hey, I'm looking for this. I don't have a lot of money. I need to spend this, but I need good, reliable transportation." And he said, "You know, we just got this vehicle in today." And sure enough, he and I rode down to Corpus Christi together last weekend in that new vehicle. Man, that is nice. And he was flat told me, he said, I said, "Well, when'd you get this thing?" He had an old red Dodge, you know, couldn't help it. He's an old beat-up Dodge. And it had finally give up the ghost. Not kind of like you talk about yours sometime. It was a good truck back in the day, and then it finally gives up the ghost and just falls down right there. And I said, "When'd you get this?" He goes, "Well, I got to tell you about this. This is a God vehicle." What a praise. Protection for him and his family to have safely down the road. We didn't have to worry about breaking down on him. That's the obedience. He followed where God led him to go. God has blessed him. No matter what it is in our lives, if we follow what God sets forth, there is protection. And folks, there is a second thing that takes place with that. There is success at whatever it is. Whether it's in our individual lives or the lives of our church or our families, there is success there. I started this morning out telling that we have a time in which we are coming up to elections and all, and I encouraged you to go and to vote, but first seek God's will in who you cast those votes for. Time and time again, the Word of God shows us that a nation thrived when it had godly leaders. That wasn't just of the Old Testament, that's today, here and now. We will see our nation thrive with godly leaders and our communities and our state thrive when we have godly leaders in place. But that doesn't just happen. That protection that helps us by having those godly leaders comes from you and I being obedient to the will of God. It's not who we think. See, you and I can get deceived real easy. Always has been. Y'all all have known those politicians, using them as an example, that promise one thing, they get in office, and they suddenly get amnesia. They don't ever remember that. God's also given us videotape now. We can say, "Yeah, you did say that." Okay? But what happens is when you and I are obedient to God's word, God's grace abounds. His grace is always there. He protects us even when we shouldn't have been protected. But he enriches us, as Paul writes in Romans, that in 8 and 28, that all things work to his glory and is a blessing to those who love the Lord. So his protection, and so many times I hear in talking with different people, says, "Yeah, but if I go to the church and I follow what the Bible says, I'm restricted. I can't do what I want to do." I agree. But generally what you and I want to do leads to a bad ending. If God's not in it, I promise you it won't be successful. Not only have I lived through the times of watching God work and being a God thing, I've also lived through those times where I thought it was the right thing to do. And you know what? It's a train wreck at the end. But when I got my head straight to follow what God wanted, everything worked out. And that's in every facet of our life. If you got financial difficulties, I'm going to tell you the first thing you need to do, make sure that you tithe off the top. Been there, done that. Didn't get no pay raise, but when I made sure, Rosie and I made sure that God got his first percentage off the top, whether that's by actual money or our time or whatever, we put him first, that check got stretched and I had money left over. The same is true in everything. If you want the right job to have and the right career to have, seek him first, just as the scripture tells us. Seek God first. He'll put those other things there. Sometimes you'll end up doing things that you never conceived, but yet it'll be the most fulfilling. Why? Because it was God's plan for you and I. And so there is protection for you and I available, not only protection, but abundance of life when we are obedient to where the Father leads us. Sometimes there's folks that know the Lord and they say, you know, I've never been able to lead anybody to the Lord. I just don't ever get that opportunity. Well, number one, I'm going to tell you, if you're following God's will, you may not even be aware that you had the opportunity. There are others watching how you live every day. Your testimony may be a quiet one that's not where you talk about it. It's also the fact that not everybody is the one to reap the harvest. You see, before we reap the harvest of whatever even planting out here, somebody had to come around and till up the soil. Somebody had to come around and plant it. Somebody had to fertilize it. Somebody had to water it. And finally, somebody gets to be the reaper. Wherever it is in your life, what God's calling you to do at any stage or anything, if you will follow his will, I assure you, it will be successful. God rewards a willful and tender heart where our desire is to be obedient and do what he has for us to do. Even in the times that we're in the low places in our life, I assure you, I believe without a doubt, God will walk us through that and we will come out stronger. And it will also influence others around us, whether we realize it or not. Turn with me, if you will, over to Leviticus for a moment. We know that Leviticus is the laws of God. If you have trouble sleeping, I invite you to put Leviticus by your bedside and read it. You will not have any trouble with insomnia anymore. You will go to sleep. It's like all law. It's very dry. The only thing I ever found in my life drier than that is read an engineering book and you'll fall asleep faster or listen to an engineer talk. In chapter 18, in verse 4 and 5, God records this in his word. He says, "You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God." Then in verse 5, continuing on, "You shall therefore," relating back to verse 4, "you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." What he tells us there is he sets out his statutes and judgments. They're guidelines. The old devil perverts things just like he does all other things with God's word. Is he tries to make it that those are rules, very stiff, you have to live by. That's not the way God is. He gives us statutes and judgments as guidelines of our lives. And he's always given us the free will. He says, notice how he writes this, that a man, he says, "You shall observe it." In verse 5, he says, "You shall therefore keep the statutes, which if a man does." See, the option always comes back to you and I. We choose to follow God's way or our way. That choice he freely allows us to make. But as with any choice, there are consequences. When we choose our way, we live the consequences of our decision. What I am assured of with God is that when I follow His will, His way, His guidelines, His statutes, His judgments, I am assured of success and being blessed. Why? Because He said so. You know, growing up as a kid, sometimes I'd ask my daddy, well, why? Y'all never been there, right? Had them children, grandkids do that. Well, why? She's back here grinning real big because that little one's already at that why stage. So's that one over there. Two things we learn quick, no and why, right? You may not speak any other words in the English language you've been taught, but you know how to say no and you know how to say why. And sometimes my daddy would go, because I said so, boy. I knew the line had been drawn. There was no more questioning. But see, with God, He says it is this way. But He gives you and I the option. It's the same true with salvation. God doesn't force Himself on us. When we read through all of the ministry of Jesus in the New Testament, not once did He force Himself on anyone. They chose. And the same is true today. We can choose Him or reject Him. And for those of us who already know the Lord, we can choose to follow Him in His ways, or we can reject Him. Jesus speaks in John and tells us of an abundant life. And He talks about, He likens it unto a vine. He says, I am the vine and we are the branches. The branches survive as long as the vine is healthy and there. God's always healthy. He's existed before there was time, and He will exist even after time that we know. What is called eternity. And as long as we are attached to Him and feed off of Him, we live. Without Him, as John records in the very first chapter, when he's talking to Jesus, says, without Him, nothing would be. And that's still true today. No matter what we commit to do, if it is, and we do it in God's plan, in His time, and in His will, it will be successful. I told you about His Word. He says the same thing to us. In Jeremiah, He says, come unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things you never imagined. He also says, where I send my word, it will not return void. If He, His Holy Spirit, speaks to you and I to go do something, a ministry or a job that we should choose or a house we should buy or whatever it may be, God has already put His promise. If we follow that, it'll not return void. And because God is in it, you and I will be blessed. We'll enjoy that abundant life because we're living within that vine. We're living within His will and His way. And so He offers that to you and I. If we want to see things successful in our life, if we want to have His protection, that means that evil cannot come upon us, yeah, bad things will happen, but we'll survive them because He is our protector. He says that once we are His, Jesus said, nothing, no man, not anything can ever pluck you and I from His hand. I don't know about y'all, but that's better than any life insurance policy. That's better than a whole army of protection. For the devil must flee at the name of Jesus. God's will says, word says that. And so you and I are assured that He will prevail. Last little bit here, we watched a movie last night that was about the Nuremberg trials. And as you remember in our history, the idea was to stamp Judaism and stamp God's Word and anything dealing with Him out. We've seen it throughout history, yet it always survived. Because God's Word tells us that it will endure forever. So you see, there's so much that we can put on that side and show God is faithful, He is true, His Word will live everlasting. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you that opportunity. If you're here today and know Him, but yet you're struggling, then I'm going to ask you, are you within His will and His way? Nothing in our life is going to be easy. It's a roller coaster ride. I'll be the first to tell you that. But what I have found in those tough times by relying on Him and invoking Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to trust Him in all of our ways, and then we acknowledge Him with thanks, it always smooths out. We overcome. Even in death, we overcome. When we lose those who know the Lord, man, why would you want to call them back? They're with Him. There's no more strife. Yeah, we're sad. But we can rejoice because they're in His presence immediately. So wherever you're at in your stage of life, if you're already obedient, pray that others are obedient as well to follow His plan. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to say a real simple prayer if there's one here that does not know Him today, and give you the opportunity, the encouragement. For you see, someone, we've been right where you are. The encouragement to not listen to the lies of the devil, not worry about it, thinking embarrassment or nothing, because there is no embarrassment. Jesus Himself hung on a cross. He was not embarrassed. And without His obedience, we could not have everlasting life. But He was obedient to the Father's will. If the Holy Spirit is touching your heart today, won't you invite Him in? It's nothing rules and regulations you can't live by. He'll take away all of the junk. And He'll put it in your heart, and transform your heart with items of joy and peace. Jesus made that promise. He said, I give you my joy, my peace, for my yoke is easy. So as we pray together, encourage even that one. But yet those of us who are believing, remembering the Savior we invited to our life, the one that stands ready, willing, and able to give us protection and strength through being obedient to His will. As we pray together, dear Lord Jesus, I come today confessing I am a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. I believe You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask You today to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior all of my life and into eternity. See, God made it that simple. The covenant of the old law was superseded by the sacrifice of the Son. He says, all you have to do is call unto Me. I will come in. I'll give you a brand new heart, a brand new life, simply by asking. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and ask Christ into your life for the first time, I'm going to ask you simply to slip your hand up and back down that we might pray for you.